Well, friends, please open your Bible again with me this morning to 1 John chapter 2. Some years ago, a young lady whose name was Sally, she was a student in a Bible college class that was being taught by Professor Smith. Professor Smith was an instructor who was very well known for his creative teaching methods. One day, Sally walked into this Bible college class and saw a large bullseye target taped to the wall and several darts resting on a nearby table. Well, as class opened, Professor Smith told the students that each one of them was to draw a picture of someone that they disliked, someone that they were irked at, someone that they were angry with recently, and he would allow them to throw the darts at that person's picture. Well, Sally's friend, sitting just to the right, drew a picture of another young woman on that campus who had recently stolen her boyfriend. Another friend, sitting to the left, drew a picture of his roommate. Sally was so bold, she decided to draw a picture of Professor Smith, since she was still just a little bit irked about having received a bad grade on a recent assignment. Well, the class lined up, pictures were put up, and they began to throw the darts, which with very much laughter. The students were throwing the darts with such force that they even were tearing apart, ripping up these targets. Now, Sally, of course, was very much looking forward to her turn with the darts, but she was filled with disappointment when the professor asked the students to return to their seats so that he could begin his lecture. Well, as Sally sat there fuming about not getting her chance to throw her darts at her picture, the professor stepped forward and began to remove the target from the wall. And that is when you can imagine the shock that swept across the classroom when underneath of the bullseye target there appeared a picture of Jesus. A hush fell over the room as each student viewed with their own eyes the mangled image of their Savior, holes and jagged little marks covering his entire face. Even his eyes were virtually poked out. As Professor Smith returned back to his lectern, the classroom was filled with silence. And he stepped up to his lectern and he softly quoted Jesus' words from Matthew 25:40. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Family, we're going to continue our study of 1 John, and today in chapter 2, you and I are coming face to face with a powerful text of Scripture that reminds us of the importance of showing genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Jesus. You know, just like these students' family, many of us, we quickly forget that part of the way that we demonstrate our love for Jesus is the way that we demonstrate love to Jesus' people. So if you haven't already done so, I hope you'll join me here in 1 John 2 in this message for today that I've entitled, Keeping the New Commandment. Now, if you were with us last Sunday, I shared with you that the epistle of 1 John is very powerful in the way that it holds out a number of critical tests that will demonstrate to us the genuineness of our relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior. Back in chapter 1 of 1 John, John talked about believing on Jesus as the eternal Son of God. And we said that's a doctrinal test. If you want to be a true believer, that is a test you must pass. You must believe that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Later in chapter 1, John talked about walking in the light. There's a moral test. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the opening of chapter 2. We bumped into another key test, keeping Jesus' commandments. There's an ethical test that affirms the genuineness of your relationship with Jesus. Well, friends, we're going to keep pressing forward this morning in John, 1 John chapter 2. Today, we're going to look at verses 7 through 11. And in this section, John gives Christians another very critical test. It's an ethical test that proves a person's relationship with Jesus is genuine. And that test is heartfelt, sincere love for fellow believers. Here in this section, family, John unpacks some very important truths about what is called the new commandment. This new commandment that came forth from Jesus himself. So let's read our text here together in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. And then we'll come back and we'll start to unpack a little bit what it means exactly to keep the new commandment. So let's look at God's word here. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Here's what scripture says. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Christian friends, these are practical verses. These are powerful verses too, that speak about our obligation to keep this new commandment. Well, friends, what will it look like exactly if you and I are keeping this new commandment? What would keeping the new commandment actually look like? Well, let's highlight here in this text that we just read, let's highlight four evidences that appear in these verses. And I hope you'll jot some of these down in your notes there that are provided for you in your Sunday bulletin. Notice this first evidence, number one, if you are keeping the new commandment, number one, you embrace love for God's family members. Here's number one, you embrace love for God's family members. And we see this there in verses 7 and 8. Notice verse 7 opens with John addressing these Christians that he was writing to. He addresses them as beloved. Now, it might be very acceptable to also think of this as beloved ones, beloved ones. That's how John felt in his heart. He was the wise old man. He was the last living apostle. And these were believers he was writing to, and he loved them. If you're using the New International Version, your Bible has the opening there in verse 7 as dear friends, dear friends. And that certainly gets to the idea. Notice John says, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. Now, any careful reader of God's word would ask an important question here. From the beginning of what? From the beginning of what? Well, family, as we study the context, it seems John is referring back to the very first days that these Christians became Christians. Back from the very beginning of when they became believers, from the very first moments that they became followers of Jesus Christ. John says, I want to remind you of an old obligation that you've been hearing about since the day you were brought to faith in Christ. Now, what is this obligation? Well, if you look in the text there in verses 7 and 8, you really don't see John come out and say it directly, but you get it in the verses that follow. You get it plainly enough. It is this command, it's this obligation to love one another. Now, friends, if you stop and think about it with me, John is correct when he says that this is not a new idea. This is not something new that just originated with him. This commandment of love isn't anything new. In fact, we could trace this thing back. It's been in play for centuries. We could go all the way back into the bygone days of the Old Testament era. Remember what God told the Israelites? It's in your notes there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So this idea of love goes all the way back to the Old Testament. It starts with love for God. But the Old Testament also talked about love for neighbor as well. Look in your notes. I gave you Leviticus 19:18. This is God speaking. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So you see, friends, God's command about love, it's not new, is it? It's not new. It's as old as the Old Testament. But John is reminding us, John is pointing out here, since we have been born again, since we are now followers of Jesus Christ, since we now belong to Jesus, this commandment about love, there is something new about it. Something about it is different. It is new. And we could say that it's new, not necessarily in regards to time. It's not new in regards to time, but under Jesus, it is new in regards to quality. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John 13? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus said something very similar just a few chapters later in John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, Jesus says. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So friends, here's a practical lesson for you, Christian friend. The New Testament teaches that one of the marks of a genuine believer is that he or she fully embraces God's family in love. Christians, what a powerful reminder here that as believers, we are not identified by matching shirts. We are not identified by special uniforms that we all have to wear. We all don't walk around as Christians with a special name tag. Yes, I'm a Christian, and then your first name underneath. No, Jesus says Christians are identified by love. The love that we show one to another. Just as Jesus loved us, so we are to love others, most especially our fellow believers in Jesus. You know, family, in some earlier messages, we've talked about how Jesus is the true light that's come into the world. Well, without a doubt, Jesus' light was always marked by love, love for people. Love was so evident from the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus when he walked this planet. When Jesus' light shined, it was always a light filled with love. And so a walk, therefore, by you and me, a walk that goes in the light of Christ will always be accompanied by love. A love for Jesus and a love for Jesus' people. That's what John's pointing to there at verse 8. You see there in verse 8, John says that this is true in him. Who's the him? It's Jesus. This is true in him and it's true in you. John says it's this attitude of love. This attitude of love, this is what gives evidence whether or not you are still in the darkness that is passing away, or whether you are truly in the light that is shining in Christ. Well, let's move on, okay? Here's a second evidence. A second evidence that shows that we're keeping the new commandment. Number two, you exchange darkness for the brightness of brotherhood. Number two, you exchange darkness for the brightness of brotherhood. Look at verse 9 again. Whoever says that he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Now, friends, if you paid attention at all to the news this last week, you surely saw that news story regarding John Stewart's speech before Congress. John Stewart is a famous comedian, and in recent years, he has used his celebrity and his notoriety to try to bring more publicity and to try to bring more support to thousands of first responders who quite literally put their own physical health on the line in the days and the weeks following the 9/11 terrorist attacks. These were the first responders who showed up there within moments and started digging through the rubble of the Twin Towers following the terrorist attacks. Now, back in 2001, I mean, these heroes rushed in. I mean, there wasn't a thought about what kind of chemicals might be in there, what kind of other debris might be in there. These guys just marched in, firemen, police, emergency responders. They had no clue and didn't give a thought to the fact that they were waltzing into all kinds of toxic chemicals and that they be breathing in all kind of terrible things into their lungs. Well, do the math. 2001 to 2019. It's 18 years has gone by. And many of these emergency folks are now facing cancer and other debilitating diseases directly traceable to what they did there as heroes on 9/11. Well, John Stewart came before Congress this last week and he gave a blistering speech to these Congress people. Many of them weren't even present. Many of them were absent. And John Stewart was pointing out in his speech the hypocrisy of so many of these Congress people. These congressmen and women, they laud the work of heroes. Oh, they talk about heroes with their lips. But John Stewart says, but then you refuse to help them with the appropriate resources in this fund. And John Stewart said, something is terribly, terribly wrong. When you applaud the patriotism of these people, but you won't resupply the finances and the funds that would actually help their physical needs. Family, as we keep pressing forward in this text, we get to verse 9. John says something is terribly, terribly wrong in the life of a person who says that they are a Christian, and yet their lives continue to be characterized by a mistreatment of people. Mistreatment of people, even to the point of hatred. Look at verse 9. It opens with that phrase, whoever says, whoever says. That's interesting. Who do we think John, the writer, is pointing the finger at here? Who is the whoever of verse 9? Well, family, based on the rest of the letter and the rest of the context, it seems that John is pointing into the direction of these false teachers, Gnostic false teachers who understood more about Greek philosophy than they did of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, these false teachers were on the scene here at the end of the first century, and they were starting to have a negative influence on Christians. These false teachers were telling the Christians, hey, we're right with God. We're illuminated. We are enlightened. We have deep spiritual reality, so you should listen to us. You should follow our lead. Yet John is pointing out that these false teachers weren't genuinely walking in the light of Jesus, because what characterized their everyday lives was the darkness of criticism and hatred. John says it there as plainly as he can. I mean, this isn't hard to read, is it? Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Now listen, if you're a Christian and you're paying attention, that verse ought to give you a little pause. Because a statement like that can, on first read, make us a little nervous. Because there's been times in all of our lives, Christians, including mine, when I have genuinely been quite angry at some fellow believers. And so have you. You have been genuinely angry at another Christian from time to time. You were angry. You were irked. You were so upset with that other person, it may have even rose to the level of hatred for a little while. You were so irritated with that person. You didn't want to see him. You didn't want to talk to him. You didn't want to have anything to do with them. You ignored them. Well, in light of this verse we just read, Is John the Apostle saying that if that has ever happened to you even once, that you're not a Christian? Well, family, no, that's not what John is saying. And we know that because of this key word, hates, in verse 9. Look at that word, hates. That verb, hates. The verb there is in the present, active, ongoing tense. So John isn't saying, if it has ever happened to you once or twice where you were angry or ticked off or feeling a sense of even hatred towards a fellow Christian, if that's ever happened to you once, well, that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. John is talking here about the person who practices that hatred as an ongoing, active, habitual kind of lifestyle. It's something that characterizes that whole person's manner of life. So believers, let this scripture penetrate its way into your heart today. Take a good reminder today. If you genuinely belong to Jesus, your everyday Christian life, the ongoing character, the ongoing nature of your life will not be one that is characterized by hatred and darkness. The darkness of selfishness, angry words, criticisms of people, put downs, and other forms of hatred. You should not be having that ongoing hatred towards your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we going to have disagreements from time to time? Sure. Sure. Maybe there are going to be some disagreements, some conflicts. But nevertheless, the overarching attitude that always is to exist in the body of Christ is the attitude of love. Love. Look at your notes. I gave you what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Peter writes, above all. Just underline that. Above all. Keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. How many of you have heard read that section from 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Such a famous text. Can I just remind you that Paul didn't write that for a wedding? He wasn't attending a wedding. He wasn't thinking about a wedding. He wasn't going to a wedding. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, he was writing to believers in a church. When he says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it's not arrogant, it's not rude, it doesn't insist on its own way, it's not irritable, it's not resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Well, family, in this message today, we're talking about keeping this new commandment. It's a commandment from Christ, and it has to do with love, love of our fellow believers. What are our lives going to look like if we're keeping this new commandment? Well, number one, you embrace love for God's family members. Number two, you exchange darkness for the brightness of brotherhood. Here's number three, you evade the stumbling block of hate. Number three, you evade the stumbling block of hate. Verse 10 says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Now, friends, in this section, John is helping us understand if a person claims to be a Christian, and yet the ongoing, everyday character of their lives, if it doesn't match up with the light, if it doesn't match up with the love of Jesus, that's a red flag. That's a serious red flag. It's interesting here in this section how John sets forth these contrasts. Are you seeing them? John does this a lot in his epistle. Big contrast to get our attention. Darkness versus light. Hatred versus love. And we'll see in a minute. Stumbling versus walking. Well, look at verse 10. John's continuing this same train of thought. Whoever loves his brother abides or continues in the light. And in him there is no cause for stumbling. Family, here's what John is saying, very simply. For a person who's that habitual hater, the habitual hater of God's people, they are going to find their spiritual life to be one of great stumbling. Stumbling along because of their refusal to walk in the light of love. You remember what Jesus told his disciples back in John 11. This is in your notes. I gave you the scripture. John 11, verse 9. Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in the daytime? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. You see, Christian friend, when a believer continues to nurse an attitude of hatred towards a brother or a sister in Jesus, that person may not realize it, but they are actually walking in darkness. That's what they're doing. They're continuing to walk in the darkness that they should have left behind. Look in your notes. I love this great observation from Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Quote, contrary to popular opinion, Christian love is not blind. When we practice true Christian love, we find life getting brighter and brighter. Hatred is what darkens life. When true Christian love flows out of our hearts, we will have greater understanding, greater perception in spiritual things. Listen, Christian, it seems today is the day that you need to think seriously about that anger, about that hatred that you've been secretly harboring against another Christian. Maybe that irritation, that angry spirit, that hatred you've been carrying around, maybe it's been directed to someone who's worshiping Jesus with you in this room right now. Dear friend, you need to know this truth. That kind of behavior isn't light. It isn't light. That is darkness. That is darkness. And the longer you hold on to that attitude of darkness, the longer your spiritual life is just going to halter and stumble in the darkness. Friend, I would just implore you today, take these scriptures to heart and confess that sin to Jesus. Confess it to Jesus right here, right now. Confess that spirit of criticism. Confess that cynicism. Confess the irritation. Confess the hatred. And then ask Jesus to stir up in you a new spirit. A spirit that comes from Him. Just as He has loved you, so you are to love His family. Listen, Christian. You want to see your assurance increase? You want your confidence to grow? Do you really want to know that you know Jesus as Lord? Well, friend, you need to take to heart this third insight from John's pen. Keeping the new commandment means that you are avoiding, you are evading this stumbling block, the stumbling block of hatred. Now, here's the fourth one. Lastly, keeping the new commandment means, number four, you engage in forward spiritual progress. Number four, you engage in forward spiritual progress. Look at verse 11. But whoever hates his brother, John says, is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Family, we look there in verse 10. John says the person who loves his brother abides in the light. That person has no worry, no cause for spiritual stumbling. But verse 11 is the contrast. Verse 11 is the opposite. Do you see it there? But, here's the negative. Whoever hates his brother, again, we're saying that word has to do with an ongoing, continual state of action. Whoever continues to keep on hating his brother is in the darkness. And he walks in the darkness and he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness keeps him blinded. In other words, friends, for that person who just persists in maintaining that spirit of hatred, detesting people, carrying around those grudges, that anger, the irritation, the hatred in their heart, John says that person is just giving proof, they're just giving the evidence that they've never really come out of darkness in the first place. We can surely think about these false teachers of the day. They made such great claims. They were so illuminated. Oh, they were so spiritual. They wanted all of these believers of the first century to follow their teaching. Oh, they were so illuminated. And yet John knew the truth. Because their everyday lives were characterized by such hatred, by mistreatment of people, it was obvious that lifestyle, that ongoing lifestyle of hatred, that's just darkness. And John says, those kinds of people, they're not even Christians at all. John says they're blinded. They're never going to get it together spiritually. And they have no idea where they're going. Isn't it interesting, family, that word, they're blinded, that they're blinded in verse 11? That's the same word that Paul uses over in 2 Corinthians 4:4 to talk about how Satan keeps the minds and eyes of unbelievers blinded, keeping them in spiritual darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is in your notes. In their case, the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. Listen, Christians, let's talk, you and me, as believers. Christians, if our lives, if they're not entirely characterized by darkness and wickedness and hatred, if our lives aren't like that, certainly these false teachers were, but if our lives are not completely consumed by that, well, these verses are still a powerful reminder to us. These verses still hold out to us, friends, the dangers of disparaging people, bad-mouthing fellow believers, gossiping about them, slandering them, or even showing low-grade hatred, low-grade hatred towards fellow believers. The Bible gives us the warning. Don't do that. You're never going to make positive spiritual progress when you allow those kinds of attitudes to dominate your everyday life. You know, sometimes Christians today make jokes. Sometimes Christians today make light. Some Christians, shockingly, even take pride in the fact that they're snarky by nature. Little snarky. Cynicism. Sarcasm. A lot of Christians take a lot of pride that they'll say whatever they want to say to people. And they take pride in that, even as they say whatever they're going to say to another Christian. To take pride in that? Listen, believer, that kind of behavior must stop. It must stop. That is not keeping the new commandment. If you really know Jesus, if you really walk in Jesus' light, as we've seen from God's Word today, this is a light that always shines with love. Well, friends, today in this message, we've looked at four evidences that will show up in our lives if we are keeping the new commandment from Jesus. Listen, what sets you apart as a Christian is not your church attendance. It's not what you choose to wear on Sundays. It isn't the Christian radio station that you listen to. It isn't the movies that you see or don't see. No, Jesus says people will know that you belong to Him by the way you love your fellow believers. Jesus walked in the light, and He loved us, His people. He loved us with a sacrificial, unselfish, caring, compassionate love. That's how we are called to love. That is how we should be loving our fellow believers in Jesus. You know what a shame it is when some Christian people today treat fellow Christians like those college students did, throwing darts at fellow believers constantly, believers that they're angry with, believers that they're irked at, believers that they're harboring a grudge against, believers that they're carrying a low-grade hatred towards. Friends, how often do we forget? How often do we need the wake-up call of the Scriptures? Standing behind every single believer in Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ Himself, the Savior, who bought that person with His own precious blood. So, Christian friend, ask God today to help you take this passage to heart. And to make sure, Christian friend, that you are loving your fellow believers and not lacerating them with hurtful words or hateful attitudes. Dr. R.C. Sproul once wrote, "Those who are forgiven should gladly put aside their sinful ways and walk in newness of life." So for you, Christian friend, and for me, that newness of life means a newness of love.
Thanks for listening. This Preaching for a Change broadcast has been brought to you by the Grace Baptist Church of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. For more information, visit us online at mygracebaptist.church. If you enjoyed this broadcast, then share it with a friend on your favorite social media network. And be sure to join us next time for more enlightening and encouraging biblical exposition here on Preaching for a Change.